Hello there, and welcome to a Smooch Month feature here at Press.exe. This is the month where I celebrate romantic media, stuff that I would not bother watching if left to my own devices. And as part of this tradition, I try and make sure that I don't just watch stuff that looks like it will be engaging to me, like, say, an action comedy about killer lesbians falling in love, and instead focus on trying to find something that represents just pure crap. And to that, I will always watch at least one Hallmark movie a year. But I will not be alone in this endeavor. I am not going to do this on my own, and if I did, it would not be interesting or funny. So that is why I, Talon Lee, he, him, have brought on board Fox Lee!
She, her. And, let President Fox clarify a few things. Because I don't want you making it sound like this is the kind of media that would appeal to me if I left my own devices.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, not at all. No. 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 No.
No.
No.
No. There's not nearly enough anime boys kissing other anime boys.
No, this is... No one was having fun here, except in that we were having fun about not having fun. Like, these movies, just as a general blanket, I if you're at all a veteran of the podcast that I've recommended, it's Christmastown, you might have it in your head that Hallmark movies range from not bad to funny bad, and no, they're bad. They are flat out bad. And I know objective media criticism doesn't exist, and there's no such thing as actually bad, and all that stuff, and everything is just floating signifiers, but in every meaningful way I can explain it, they are bad.
Let's put it this way. When you asked me, are you ready to do the record yet? I said, yeah, we better talk about this movie before I forget literally everything that's in it.
And that's notable as well, because this time we watched 2022's A Tale of Love. T-A-I-L.
Dog movie.
Starring, and I use that word generously, Brittany Bristow and Chris McNally.
It stars nobody, it features nothing!
It deserves special mention, though, because this is the first time that we've gotten a Hallmark movie, which I think deserves, like, it deserves a note on this one, in that there's nothing terrible in this one. And so as a direct result, it's just the most boring nothing of a 90 minutes I've ever shared with you.
I mean, it's got an actual villain.
Oh, yeah?
Not like a half-assed impediment who isn't really a bad guy in the end. And not like just the two leads' own sense of inadequacies. An actual villain.
Yeah.
And somehow it's still a lot less eventful than any of the ones we've watched previously.
Just as a reminder, the last time we did this, we watched The Christmas Shepherd.
Yeah.
In which they stole a dog.
They did steal a dog.
I relayed The Christmas Shepherd to one of my beloved friends, incidentally. And when I explained the story, their response was, oh, well, if I was in that situation, I'd call the police.
Because they stole a dog?
Because I just murdered someone for stealing my dog.
Ah, well, there's that, yes. Yeah, no, I recall on the record, I was like, I don't know what America's laws about this are like, but I know here, you stole a dog.
You stole a dog.
So I'm glad we had that confirmation. Now, don't worry, nothing remotely that interesting happens in this movie. In fact, the dog is not even a plot device in this one. The dog is set dressing, and towards the end they sort of suggest that the dog carries the overriding theme of the movie, which is a great idea if they bothered to put that theme into the movie. But they didn't, so really it's just people looking at the dog and saying, this dog represents how I feel about this story's themes.
And previous Smooch Month movie, Flip That Romance, really underscored how hateable the protagonists were by having them be people whose day job is making living more expensive for everyone else, and then showing them being tasteless about it. Like, that movie, that movie was very hateable. This movie, you might notice, I'm not saying a lot about.
That movie was about people doing a terrible, reprehensible thing, landlording. And this movie is about people doing a truly wonderful thing, taking in dogs that have no homes and finding them new homes. That's an objective good. That should be enough to carry the movie a little way, at least.
And saving the dog shelter. Like, a big part of the plot here is saving the dog shelter. Now, admittedly, it's saving it from one of the protagonists. All he had to do at any point to stop this problem is just go, no, I won't do that.
Yeah, we should probably do a plot summary of this, such as it is, because it's only going to take, like, 3 sentences. Do you want to give it a go?
So, we have our character, Bella, who runs a dog shelter about which I am sure Fox has notes. And that shelter is sponsored by a neighboring pet food company, which also years ago gave the land to Bella's grandmother? Sorry, her nana. That's very important.
I did, you know what? Points for this movie. I liked that she was called Nana.
Yeah, that's very clearly we can't get the Canadian actors to say grandma properly. but Nana made this dog shelter. Bella is taking care of it. Nana's partner has died. Nana's best friend who ran the pet store has died. And now the kid of that best friend, JR, has shown up and he doesn't want to run a pet food company, so he's selling it to Evil McBitchface. And she is going to knock down the pet shelter because they can't find the paperwork that says you can't just throw someone out of their butt and knock down their house. Because, you know what, that's actually not unrealistic because this is America. I wouldn't be surprised if businesses just do this all the time and then go, oops, sorry, maybe if you had a home you could find a way to sue us.
But Talon, this JR guy is our romantic lead, right? He's been... His mum was best buds with Nana, and she's loved him since he was little, and he loves the dog shelter, and he loves everything about it, mm-hmm. and he's falling in love with our main girl as well.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure as soon as he finds out that the objectively evil person he's trying to sell his company to is going to evict them, even though they have every right to be there, clearly, he would just stop the sale, right?
Well, no, he doesn't, and that's one of the things about the dramatic tension of this movie, in that it is essentially holding its breath as its point of tension. Like, ooh, when will I exhale? Ooh. Like, nothing in this movie is actually, like, dependent on anything else moving around. The second he chooses to stop making this a problem, it stops being a problem!
And after a certain point into the movie, you're thinking, okay, they didn't tell me about this. Which is unusual because Hallmark movies think you're very stupid, so they tell you everything several times.
Several times. This one does. For a lot of its plot points, it's like, explain a thing, ad break, re-explain a thing in a different context. Not just fade back in on where you left off.
So as you recall, back when we were talking about them. But yeah, so I thought, well, they haven't made it explicit, but like, we have to assume at this point that the sale has effectively already gone through and it's just in the wrapping up stages and he can't actually back out, right? Because otherwise, obviously he would back out.
Right? Like, this is a person who is incredibly mean-spirited and going behind his back and lying to people about stuff he says. This is just not acceptable behavior.
And she pulls up on the dog orphanage numerous times just to tell them how she's gonna bulldoze it.
Yeah, just...
Not even kidding!
Showing up to taunt them! She taunts the dog orphanage!
Taunts the dog orphanage.
She is Cruella de Vil if she never knew how to have fun.
Yeah, that's about right. There's places where they suggest that she might have a personality, but then they reel that in.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want anyone to enjoy themselves.
And I feel like in the script, like, there are lines that definitely feel like it was meant to be ambiguous if she was hot for JR. And then another scriptwriter came in and just after every single one of those just hastily went, just kidding, unless.
We're like, no, we recast that with an older actress, so that threat is dead. She's definitely too old to be with Ken here.
We move this from a normal movie channel to the Hallmark movie channel, so we don't do two attractive women in a movie now.
You better have a reel in the attitude as well, because we can't have the protagonist call her a bitch anymore.
Yeah. And these nothing characters bump around against each other for 90 minutes.
The entirety of this fucking movie is someone walks into a scene with a dog. They have a conversation with another character about whether or not they found the documents that prove the dog orphanage won't get evicted yet. They confirm that they haven't found them yet. Then everybody looks sad and we do another scene. It is doing fucking laps like this for nothing happens! And that would be fine if nothing happens because we are enjoying so much spending time with these characters we care about.
With their sparkling chemistry.
And their random cute dogs.
And their fun dynamics.
Except there are no fun dynamics. This is...
Well, Your Honor, I will forward that Nana, played by veteran of Canadian sitcoms and a mum since the early 80s and now a grandma in so much stuff, she absolutely kills it when she's hanging out with the older lawyer guy.
No, the two older characters are great. No notes.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have two, like, actual actors.
Which I have to assume is because they just sort of gave them the lines and said, do whatever you want with it. You guys have been doing this for 50 years.
Alternatively, they said, here's the script. Obviously, you'll stick to the script. And they were like, we have one shooting day. You're not doing retakes. Fuck you.
What are you going to do? Yell cut? Didn't think so.
Nana does what Nana wants.
That's brilliant, actually. Like, I would be fucking surprised if these veteran actors were just like, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm calling the director's bluff.
I understand that's actually what happened in Star Trek Deep Space Nine around Rick Berman, in that the actors would deliberately make takes take as long as possible. So then do their last, then do their best take at the last version.
Well, it's
like
the opposite of it.
Yeah, so it's like, you're going to have to use the take that's the way the actor wants it, because the alternative is another day of shooting, and you can't afford that. So, like, and this is very important in theatre and games studies, where the idea of play within boundaries and showing that even though the actor is ostensibly obeying someone, the actor still has ways to permeate on that. And I bring this up because me discussing academic textbooks is more interesting than this movie.
Yeah, no, the two older characters have a little bit of chemistry and actually speak like human beings might speak to one another. Mm-hmm. They are fine. Our two lead characters, and the overwhelming majority of this movie is just these two humans talking at each other.
Yeah.
Are just like the epitome of Hallmark androids. There is not an organic human emotion in these bodies.
Yeah, and the storytelling and the visuals of this movie are, they're very much serial. Like, there is one thread of anything happening at a time. So when one character is talking, the other character isn't looking at them and reacting and showing an emotional response to that. They are just dead stop, expressionless, you know, robot person as the other person delivers their dialogue. They stop speaking, and then the emoting on the other person's face starts. Which is something I associate with child actors.
They probably know it's all going to be just shot reverse shot editing anyway, because no one is being paid enough to actually think about how to put this together.
You think they get two shots?
No, that's what I mean. They're getting a clean take from either side.
From both angles, yeah, both lav mics. That's what I think. Let's go. Now, acting, very low quality, plot, irrelevant, main character, like, JR just stops the deal at one point, and that's it. Movie over. Movie solved.
No, the villain stops the deal. Here, the conclusion of this, they introduce the tiniest little zither of tension right at the end, where, like, our hero finds the documents by looking in the last place that you look. And he rushes off to give them to the lawyer gentleman, but before he can, the heinous bitch steals the one that was on top, which is the document that belongs to the company that proves they own the land. Well, they don't own it. That proves the dog orphanage owns the land.
Yeah.
So he rushes off to take this pile of papers, hands it over to the lawyer, and is like, no, wait, where's the one, where's the document, where's the contract? It was right here on top. How did I lose it? And then I shit you not, this resolves itself by him going through the rest of the pile and just pulling out on the bottom, oh, here we go, there's their copy.
There's another copy in the stack.
So both copies were in the stack. So this doesn't matter, it doesn't come up later. I thought, no. Oh, well, okay, that's because they want the evil bitch to have it so they can, like, prove that she actually, you know, committed a fucking felony in the process of this. And you know, that can be used to actually give her some comeuppance, but no.
Don't worry, she does try and commit a felony.
She does try and commit a felony because at the very end, after pretending to go overseas to die in the war, our hero doesn't, and explains everything to our heroine about the evil lady wanted him to destroy the contracts when he found them. And he didn't do it. He could never do that to you, babe.
And
don't
also,
you love him?
It's a crime.
And also, it's a fucking crime, so I don't know why he expects a cookie for this.
This guy is too white to do any cool crimes.
And she was so upset by him refusing to commit a crime as part of the sale of this business, which would surely not bite either of them in the ass, that she cancelled the sale. Which means that it could have been cancelled the entire meal.
With a little extra asterisk where he makes it clear that the only reason she cancelled the sale was because she didn't want to do the sale unless she also got the orphanage land so she could bulldoze it. Like, she actively wanted to destroy a dog shelter.
It's the wildest fucking thing.
That actress, by the way, is pretty game, but also she's not working with anything.
No. She stinks of someone being told to rein it in a little bit this time, please.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
It's like, you know, they have her do the sort of mean bitch sneer, just a tiny little bit, but she never actually gets to do it.
The vaguest hint of being horny for JR.
The vaguest hint.
Now, I have two things left to say about this movie, and one of them is micro-sized.
Is it notes about how Hallmark actually is making some progress with diversity?
Yeah, I was going to point out that there were at least two black characters in this, though also they were effectively cardboard cutouts. Yeah, it's fine.
The main characters are effectively cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, you're not, like, they are just as much shallow non-things as the main characters, so, like, it's not actually as bad as all that.
That newsreader lady had more personality than our lead, that's for sure.
Yeah, she was there for 20 minutes, she's got a sandwich in the other room, I am not going to mess around. But the other thing in that is that there appeared to be a mention of a guy having a partner. And I loved how this was positioned so that someone like my mum might go, oh, of course, business partner. They run that cafe together.
It is true. Like, we see them right at the start standing next to each other. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're in the era of Hallmark where they're going to have two guys who run a juice bar and are obviously a couple, but they won't actually say it.
Yeah.
They would never say it.
An interracial juice bar couple. You know, those all the time.
But they do later refer to them as what's-his-face's name I can't remember, and his partner what's-his-face's name I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, they did make it explicit. Like, they actually said it, but you're
just
right.
Glance off it.
That's plausibly deniable.
Just route around it. I love this kind of weaseling nonsense. Now the second thing. Hey, Fox. What does this movie know about dogs?
Oh, this movie knows nothing about dogs. They never do. I mean, for starters, the dogs are set dressing in this. They pretend that the theme of don't get attached is, like, the central theme of the movie, and like, you know, oh, he's... We didn't mention that our hero is in the military, did we? That's how boring this is.
No, and it doesn't matter.
He's a military man, and he's going back overseas because he can't back out on the commitment he made to his country or whatever until he does at the end of the movie. But the running thing, you know, they playfully natter on our hero and our heroine say to one
Bella.
Another, don't get attached. Whatever.
That is her name.
I keep wanting to call her Betty Whiteface.
Bella, whatever. Betty Whiteface is pretty good, though. Kind of disrespectful to the legacy of Betty White, honestly.
That's the only reason I didn't just casually use it before. Betty White deserves better than that.
But yeah, the don't get attached theme.
Yeah, so they repeat this about, you know, oh, they're shelter dogs, so of course the rule is don't get attached, even though, like, they own a massive property and a massive home, and apparently no dogs of their own, which strikes me as
That's
weird.
That's strange.
Yeah! Yeah, it's a little odd. Anyway. You know, when it emerges that our hero has to go back overseas to an actual fucking combat zone this time.
Iraq,
apparently, in 2023.
Yeah. Apparently.
Apparently!
I thought that you'd left that. Weird that you'd bring it up. I mean, it's true, but also weird.
And he and girl bring up this, you know, you failed to listen to your own advice, don't get attached. Because they're, you know, they're both admitting, well, I was trying not to fall for you, but I'm falling for you. And they pretend that this has sort of been how they've been handling the relationship so far. But the thing is, it's really not. Like, these two have been perfectly open with each other the entire time, and very, very unguardedly just engaging with each other as a couple who want to get romantically involved. There is nothing touchy about it. They, at one point, they talk about how she doesn't want to fall in love with anyone because she got hurt one time when she got dumped
in
out
her
of high school.
In her one other relationship. 10 years ago.
And she swore she'd never let her heart get broken again. But that's just her saying that. Nothing in her actual actions or conduct represents that. And so when they try and bring up this idea of don't get attached, you're just left with, like, well, you probably should have made that a theme in the movie and had that play into how these people treated each other.
And these characters are not so interesting or complex that either of them are hiding anything.
No.
This is a pair of Ken doll. This is a Ken doll and a Barbie doll that's been played with once.
Yeah. Yeah, so the dogs are not there to reinforce the theme. They are there to give it a pun title, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Quick notes on the shelter. They have these little fucking Instagram fucking craft project kennels where they have, like, a little sort of not even waist-high wall between all of them and a cute little picket fence and, like, no roof or lid or whatever on top.
And an arched gate in the front.
That's your little picket fence, yeah. And they're keeping, like, German shepherds and stuff in these kennels, and they just, you know, pop them away for the night. They bring in a new dog at the beginning of this movie, who is supposedly our main dog who brings the couple together, but does fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Fucking nothing.
The dog, by the way, anytime we say this, I'm going to say some things about these dogs that are harsh and critical, but it's not that the dog is bad, it's the person directing this movie is terrible.
No, it doesn't help that this dog is in every scene interested in the handler off screen instead of
every time
humans.
Not looking at the two humans.
We are informed that she's very attached to both of them, and that's part of why this is a complicated thing, and they don't want to adopt her out to anyone else, but
which is why in the final shot
really,
she's trying to leave.
Yeah, they do their big kiss and they're like, oh yeah, we can be a couple now, it's all right, and we'll adopt the dog and everything, and then they crouch down to, like, hug the dog and welcome her into
it's
their
trying
new family.
To go.
The dog is trying to leave. It's, it sure is something. Anyway, so they bring in this dog who they talk about being a military dog, a combat veteran dog.
From Afghanistan.
So, like, yeah, this is a complicated fucking animal, right?
Yeah.
This animal has specific training that makes them suitable only for experienced owners, and probably a hell of a lot of trauma to go with it. Just putting that out there. And on the first night in the shelter, she is supposedly going to sleep in this arrangement with all the other dogs in their little cute little cubbyhole kennels with waist-high walls that literally any one of these dogs is jumping over in 3 seconds if they decide that they want to.
Don't forget that the gate is lifted as well. There's a...
Oh, the whole... The kennel is off the ground, so the wall is actually even shorter than it looks. The point is, they have a dog who's just come into the shelter. They have no idea what her personality is like or anything. They have no idea how good she is with the other dogs, and they intend to leave her with them, unsupervised, in a situation where they could easily kill or seriously injure one another.
Uh-huh.
They are terrible shit.
Looks nice.
They don't actually wind up leaving her there overnight, but only because our main character has already fallen in love with her and is like, "Aw, you don't really like it, do you? You come home with me." Whereas it should have been, "Ah, you're in quarantine, so we know that you don't have some kind of horrible communicable disease."
Now, I know I don't remember the name of this dog. Do you?
I think the dog's name is Indy. I'm not totally
sure. Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. But the fact that you are such a dog-brained person, and that's not certain, that's kind of, that's telling, right?
She wasn't really a character.
No. Very pretty dog.
Yeah, there's a lot of photogenic German shepherds in this movie.
Yeah, it's a good
point. Some beautiful Australian shepherds, a rough collie or two, I think.
Yeah, there was a lassie dog.
That's a rough head.
Oh, sorry.
Not quite a lassie. The lassie dog is a, just like the collie, the standard
oh,
collie.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Yeah. Hey, listener, Fox is very expert in this, and I'm tangential. I've absorbed some stuff, so there's moments where I do need correction like that, but it's completely understandable because Fox really knows her stuff.
Look, you say that, but that could have been a rough collie, or it could have been a Sheltie. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, but you can tell the distinction there. I was like, a lassie dog.
I do think the puppies are probably foxhounds rather than beagles, because they looked way too leggy to be beagles to me.
Also, those were puppies?
They were juvenile dogs. They weren't, like, puppy puppies, but they weren't full grown yet either.
Because those were, like, a person holding one in their arms. Like, they're on the movie poster. You can see that if you're clicking on press.invincible.inc. but, like, those dogs look comparable in size to Ellie, and I know Ellie is a weird case because our dog is a whippet, and therefore is a small dog on stilts, and therefore has lots of leg flailing around out there. But it's still, like, those are young dogs?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Like, they're too big to be beagles, as far as I'm concerned. Which is actually, a friend I had in primary school had this exact problem, because people can't tell the difference between beagles and foxhounds when they're little. So her family accidentally wound up with a foxhound, which is a much bigger and more energetic dog than they had intended.
and it was
really rough for everyone involved. It was quite a sad story.
Oh.
But, yeah, so. I don't know. I think they were foxhounds. Doesn't really matter. Oh, and one really little, like, sausage loaf-looking chihuahua.
He ate dog biscuits?
The dog biscuits. Yeah, those are probably shit. I don't want a bad-mouth Nana, but...
If a human is enjoying them?
If you've made a treat for your dog that is human edible, you should probably stop and not feed that to your dog, because if it is, like, pleasant and palatable to a human, it's probably not good for a dog. Maybe not dangerous to a dog, but, like, you shouldn't be giving dogs wheat flour in the first place, really.
And
you can't tell me that he was eating that happily when it was made with, like, tapioca starch or something.
And similarly, dog flavors, I do know this.
Dogs
have very extreme sensory relationships, which is why dog biscuits, for example, have that very pungent smell.
Dogs can't taste stuff that well. They're, like, super scent-based when it comes to, like, I mean, you already know that, like, human scent and taste are strongly intertwined. With a dog, it's, like, way more on the scent side of things. They don't have much in the way of taste buds.
Yeah.
Which might be why, as I yelled at the TV screen when this came up, dogs like eating poo!
But he talks about how, well, if a dog likes it, how bad could it be? Dogs like eating poo!
Not have dogs at all, have you? You've lied to us.
And therein lies the great truth at the heart of all Hallmark discussions. Hallmark are making product. They are making hashtag content. Yeah?
Sorry. The other note against the shelter that I was going to put down is that this the main character dog we've talked about, who is a combat veteran with unknown issues, they also, like, 1 or 2 days later...
Oh, yeah!
Talk about adopting her out to a family that's come in that they're dealing with, who has, like, an obviously extremely special needs kid in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't go into depth about this, but, like, from the looks of it, they actually got an actor who had these conditions in real life, so, like, props to them there, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But also, it just, you know, it means that the shelter is going well about this big, powerful, combat-trained dog with unknown trauma. We feel like that's probably the right choice. Not just for a family that hasn't had a dog before.
Or a family that has a child.
Or a family that has a child. but a family that has a child with specific physical disability needs that make this an inherently dangerous situation. Princess, you don't fucking do that. And they only do it because they want to be like, oh, we're talking about adopting that one dog that you clearly want to keep. And you have to pretend that you're willing to do it because don't get attached.
Uh-huh.
You're not gonna do it.
And so, like, this is a thing that comes up a lot in media where you have a disabled person who is present but is there as a prop for something for an abled person. And, you know, it's a little thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, but no.
When you know about it, you never stop seeing it.
No part of this actual reality has been considered by the person putting this scene together.
Mm-hmm. Hallmark make content. And nothing they make has to be made with any degree of knowledge of the thing they're making. They are making Christmas movies that do not know how to do anything that feels realistically or authentically Christmas. They are doing romance movies where the romance feels incredibly facile. And they are doing dog movies, which don't know more than dogs than I do. And my experience is one dog.
I mean, he's not a beginner dog.
That's true. He's got the anxieties. But he is perfect. Unlike this movie, which sucks.
This movie really sucks. I can't believe how fucking boring this movie is.
I like that it sucked in a way completely different to all the other Hallmark we've watched.
It did. There was a lot less yelling at the screen. Until the end, we find out that our hero could have solved this problem a good 70 minutes ago.
And really should have the second the red flag started popping up around Miss Evil.
Yeah, she's nothing but red flags. To say nothing of the fact that I'm pretty sure if you built a home on some land and have been living there for, they don't specify, but multiple decades at the very least.
Nana says the paperwork we've had since the 60s, which incidentally would suggest that Nana is like 70 something at least, which, yeah. Generous.
And she also says that her husband built.
Like, yeah,
physically built these places, so he can't have been that old when they acquired the land either, frankly.
Yeah, I think that's a matter of the dialed in writer period for, like, what's the time when the good old days were happening? The 60s. Yeah, okay, so let's ignore the fact that in the 60s, Nana, who, you know, could be 60, would in fact be 2. So.
Don't like that. Anyway, the point is, I'm pretty sure there's some kind of law that stops you from just getting kicked out of the place you have been legally occupying for like 40 fucking years.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for coming with me on this journey.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me this real little sparkly gem of a fucking movie.
You like dog movies.
You love me so much, you brought me this present.
It is also an opportunity for you to sit here and be smarter than people getting paid to talk about dogs for half an hour.
Where's my dog money?
It's joyous, but it's also like biting on a penny.
What's a fucking penny?
Big coppery coin. Got a kangaroo on it.
God, I haven't seen one of those since, like, 1986.
Well, my Nana gave me one as a present once, because it was interesting and cool.
Oh, cool, I love Nanas.
Yeah, my Nana was great. Anyway, bye everyone!
Happy Smooch Month.
Why did I just wave at the computer?
Bye!